This is Wade Rathke. That means it's Wade's World. It's Friday morning. We're on 9 o'clock to 9:30, 30 minutes of a great show. We're at KABF, 88.3 FM on your dial. www.kabf.org. You know the way it works. This is live today. We're live streaming on the website, and in a couple of days, by Monday or Tuesday, this will be available on our website as a podcast. 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power. Today, Wade's World, as always, we talk to the most interesting people in the world, and we're talking to Naomi Diamond. We're in England, and we're finding out about a community organizing program. Welcome to Wade's World, Naomi.
Hi, Wade. Thanks very much. I don't think I've ever been described as the most interesting person in the world. It's a first.
You'd be amazed how many people like that introduction.
It's okay.
They all say to
it's
me
okay
later,
with me.
You know, I always thought I get some emails, Naomi, that said, you know what? I always thought I was one of the most interesting people in the world, and I say, well, for me, you are. But Naomi, a lot of people, obviously people who are organizers like I am, have tried to keep an eye over the last number of years at this exciting experiment y'all have been doing in Britain, because it's very unusual. We have a community organizer, so-called, as president, but we don't have a community organizing program. Tell our listeners a little bit of what in the world y'all have been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah, sure. Well, I wish we had a community organizer as a prime minister, but I guess we got the next
best
thing.
Maybe not. I don't want to go there. It's a hard slog.
Yeah. Well, we do have a prime minister whose government has decided to fund a training program for community organizers. It is a first for Britain. It's a Conservative government, so it's
a
big surprise.
That's what's confusing to some people, right?
Well, yeah, on the face of it, obviously, organizing generally has been associated with the left and with social movements. In Britain, it's much more part of the Conservative government's direction to cut back on government, to transfer services back to communities, basically to get people to do stuff for themselves.
And that's obviously part of organizing, so... He was wise enough, or y'all were wise enough to understand the moment and try to develop this program to believe that maybe there was some synergy here in an unfortunate moment.
The context is obviously interesting, challenging, difficult. We have to take the opportunity and do what we can with it. It's not always comfortable to be in that space where we know that this is part of the government's austerity drive, lots of services being cut back in communities. And, the government launched its whole program with a kind of a title called The Big Society, and it was all about...
and we had the Great Society in the U.S., so, that caught my attention, too. I didn't miss that.
No, and, clearly it was harking back a bit to the Great Society.
Exactly.
And all of those notions, but it was all, no more big government, big society. This is all about, people doing stuff together, people doing stuff in partnership with government, or, people no longer being done for and by government, all of which, is a notion we can subscribe to, but it has come with, really swinging cuts in communities.
There's no question. What I often say about this, as I've come to know the program, is you may not like the war, but you can still like the soldiers. And the community organizers, and obviously your program, Locality, and you'll explain all of that, is about the soldiers, not so much about whatever, bred this whole change, so...
The context is there, but we just have to get on with, doing the best job that we can do, and it is an amazing opportunity. So
exactly.
The government have, basically committed £15 million to this training program.
And £15 million just, U.S. dollars are a little bit like pesos over here, is my experience. So when you're talking about £15,000, you're talking about almost $25 million something like that.
Yeah.
Do a little head math here. So it's a serious program, and it was at scale. There was discussion of, was it 500 organizers
That's the target. Uh-huh. So basically what happened was the government put together a spec for the training program. They put it out to tender. They had a bunch of different bids. Locality, we're a national charity. We work
Tell people what Locality is, right.
So we're a membership organization. Our members are all community-based organizations. They're all owned by local people. They're accountable locally, and they provide a bunch of different, mostly services into their communities. Mm-hmm. So everything from, childcare to older people's services, to running community centres, to doing community consultation, to lobbying local councils. So they're local
organisations. Locality may be a new name, but the organisation actually has an extended history that goes back to the settlement houses,
right? It does, and so we have links, you know, really historic links with, if you like, with the roots of the community organising movement through the settlement movement.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, yeah. Certainly community organizing in the Saul Inskeep tradition was a direct evolution from the Hull mm-hmm. House and all the activity with settlement houses in New York and Chicago. So I noticed that on your website. But so at some point you changed the name to reflect all this local activity, I guess.
We were two different organizations that came together. Right. So the settlement movement, their membership organization, which was called BASAC, it's an acronym in Britain.
And what was it called?
The British Association of Settlements and Social Action Centers.
BACDAC?
BASAC. Yeah.
Boy, you know, in the U.S. we would mispronounce that way too often, so I'm glad we're on a non-commercial station. This was an abbreviation. But
maybe that's why we changed the name.
Maybe it's a good idea,
yeah.
Naomi.
Yeah, so BASAC, 100 years of history. It's the movement for settlements,
sure.
And more recently for social action centers came out of the 60s, you know, centers for the unemployed and so on. And, you know, lots of other social movements came out of the settlement movement. In fact, for those of you that know a bit about British politics, so the welfare state was founded by William Beveridge and Clement Attlee was the Prime Minister, so they spent time in the settlements whilst they were really dreaming up the welfare state just after the Second World War. So we have a brilliant history. The Poor Man's Lawyer, which became the Legal Aid Service in Britain, also came out of the settlement movement.
And we certainly have legal services and legal aid
exactly.
in the US probably came out from Britain. So
you can kind of see where our interest, if you like, and in the values of community organizing came from. So BASAC joined together with a similar membership-based organization called the Development Trust Association. We're an organization of community development trusts, so local community organizations trying to do community economic regeneration, building up community-owned assets and developing them. So we came together about 3 years ago in a merger, formed a new organization. It's called Locality. It's a nationwide charity. We have about 500 member organizations across the country. And we bid for the community organizer program to run it. And we won the bid.
That must have been so exciting. And I must say this, I mean, banks in the United States are often called trust, actually, because they own a lot of Congress.
Yeah.
It's illegal almost everywhere in the United States to ever call yourself a trust.
Yeah, of course.
So,
you have antitrust legislation. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when trust is almost equivalent to a foundation or something here. I mean, it's a different.
That's right. It's a charitable
here.
Organization.
Yeah. So we nonprofits or 501c3 tax exempt organizations
right.
would be the equivalent.
Okay. And yeah. Normally.
So
holding something.
Don't think these are banks all of a sudden getting into community organizing. Banks are probably still the target someday.
Oh, but, sure. Absolutely.
So you won the bid.
Yeah.
That must have been both a shock and a celebration because there was a lot of competition, I assume.
There was a lot of competition, and we probably weren't the front runners because, you know, although we have this great history of working on social justice and communities, we don't have a history of doing community organizing. We're
right.
not the front runners. We're not the experienced organization. You know, in this country, there are other models, other movements of community organizing, like Citizens UK, which, you know.
And certainly, if you read the papers at that time
yeah.
or The Guardian, they thought that virtually Citizens was writing the bid for, or
yeah.
tender, as you call it, writing
yeah.
the bid for themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it seemed locked up, and all of a sudden, boom, there you are.
New kids on the block.
Hey, you know, that's a, yeah, we're just. We're on radio, so that's a musical group, too.
We're
hot today. I want to remind everybody, I'm talking to Naomi Diamond, who's the co-manager of the Community Organizing. The official name is Community
yeah.
Organizing Program,
yeah.
but she's with Locality, and we're talking about how this program, which is a big program, almost $25 million that's been putting organizers, and it's all over England, not all over the UK.
It's all over England. It's England-wide, and, you know, it really is all over England. And that, I think, is one of, well, I know that's one of the reasons why we won the bid.
I wouldn't be surprised, because if you go on the locality website, it's three or four or five pages of your members
yep.
that are literally every little nook and cranny. It looks, of course, I don't know
exactly.
the geography, and I could go on about that. But
Land's End, right up to the Scottish borders, and we, because of that, we were able to say we can put organisers into not every community, but any type of community, and that makes us a bit distinct because...
Well, that's probably a good segue to
yeah.
how do you place all these organisers?
Okay. Yeah.
Tell people what a cohort is, because
yeah.
none of us know what a cohort is
yeah.
either, but and then
okay.
how do they end up in Land's End
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
the middle of London? It
yeah.
sounds like a lot of people are all over the big cities too.
Yeah, we so. Do have yeah lots in the city. So
walk us through it, Naomi. Take us by the hand.
We're training 500 organisers. That's the target. That's organisers who receive a training salary for a year.
Uh-huh.
We're actually training 5,000 organisers, but the rest are voluntary, so I'll come back to them. So we train in cohorts, not of 100, if you know your Roman history, but of
yeah,
about,
right.
about 35 trainees at a time.
4 years of high school Latin you're looking
yeah.
at, but I'm not going to, I try to keep that away from the listeners. I, you know, I don't want to lose my credibility as an organizer, but,
yeah.
but
people
go
do
ahead.
Ask why on earth is yeah. it a cohort? It's a, you know, universities have cohorts, I guess.
Okay.
So a
so
group
it's not
of 100.
How many?
It's about 35 at a time.
Okay.
But we start off by recruiting hosts. So each of our trainee organisers is hosted by a local organisation. Some of them are locality members. Some of them are other types of community or charity organisations.
So they're all non-profit?
We didn't make that, we didn't specify
okay.
that they had to be, actually. And we were quite keen and interested to see if, you know, local businesses might come forward. We haven't, that hasn't been the case. So they are all non-profit.
So indirectly it's turned out that way.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And what's the relationship with an organizer and that
the
host?
The host. So organizers are employed for their training year. It wasn't necessarily what we set out to do, but that's how it worked out, mostly because of tax laws, actually, in the
okay.
UK. But they are, they're employed and they receive a training salary. So we, locality
from
employs
the agency
them.
Or
we pay them.
You pay them.
But
out
we
of...
second them. So it's a secondment to the local host. So for a year, essentially, they're like an employee. But the secondment means that it's a bit arm's length. So that. They're like an employee legally, but they don't work for the organisation in the sense of doing the organisation's business. They're only there to go out and do community organising in the community.
And that's such a non-US term. There are like, you know, three people that can pronounce lieutenant in the way
right.
you do, or secundant, or
yeah.
whatever. I know I'm not one of those
yeah,
three,
yeah.
but basically it's like a loaned employee almost.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. Somebody who's assigned...
Yeah.
from their employer to work somewhere
exactly.
else.
So they're day-to-day, they're looked after by that organization.
But they're not supervised from what I can tell in talking to them.
No,
it's
because
it's
our host...
It's a looser relationship
yeah,
with the host.
Yeah, it's a slightly ambiguous one, but because obviously our hosts...
I didn't say that.
It is a slightly ambiguous one. If you asked our hosts, they would say so. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
They're there, they have a duty of care. They're there to kind of look after the trainees, provide them with a good learning environment, give them a... be a critical friend to them, but not direct their work day to day, because their work is directed essentially by the requirements of the training.
Okay.
So their job is to work as an organizer, but they are learning training along the way. So they start off with a residential training. It's a 4-day residential training.
That's administered centrally.
So the whole cohort, 35 of them or so, come together for 4 days. We started with 3 days. We've increased it because it's not
imagine.
Enough. I mean,
yeah,
4 days
no,
is not
God.
Enough.
Yeah,
you know.
No.
You do what you can do.
You're pushing water uphill. But you
yeah.
also have a training contractors. And
so our because we weren't an arts community organizing specialist, it was obviously really important that we teamed up with an organization that was. We teamed up with a charity called Regenerate, Action to Regenerate the Community Trust, if you want their full name.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. There you go.
They
it's
have
a trust.
Been, yeah. Well, it's just that funny thing
yeah,
that we call charities in the UK. They have been developing their own model of organising in the UK for 20 years. They've drawn on Alinsky, they've drawn on Paulo Freire, they've drawn on a lot of different people's mm-hmm. work, but they've developed it very much in the English context, right around the country, from urban to rural areas. It's based on door knocking. It's based on one-to-one systematic listening.
Listening is very important.
Based
right?
on building networks. It's based on mobilizing people mm-hmm. into action.
And they've been a contractor pretty much since day one.
So they have been our training partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So they deliver the core training. We've developed a new accreditation. I don't know if that means that word what that word means to you guys, but
it's
a qualification.
We know what the word means.
It's a qualification.
So people get a certificate at some point for levels of training. Is
they
that how
do.
You operate?
Yeah, it's cool. We developed something called the Foundations of Community Organizer, Community Organizing.
Okay.
They all follow that core kind of syllabus. They have to submit kind of work. Basically alongside, reflecting on, learning from the work that they're doing in the field. They have some ongoing online training as well. So, you know, it's not just the 4 days and then that's it. So they have ongoing training and supervision. Mostly it's online. They have some other kind
reading,
of face-to-face. Lots of reading, lots of reflecting.
Uh-huh.
They're all in a team. So we never put a single trainee with a host. They're all in teams of between 2 and 5 with one
okay.
host. So a lot of it's about peer learning, you know, coming together with the team every week to reflect and plan their work. But they all have a patch of their own. So they develop their own work in their own patch, their own team of volunteers. So the way that we kind of jump from the 500 to the 5,000.
Yeah, tell people yeah. about that. That is a jump.
Yeah, so each, and this is, I guess, these were the kind of numbers that were set by government because they felt that they could fund bursaries, you know, salaries for 500, not more, but they felt that
they needed to save 5,000.
They felt that 5,000 was
a bigger number.
More, you know, that was how many they needed if there was a chance that they were going to build a sustainable movement. Interesting that the government would be thinking this, but
I don't
this
even
is
want to touch that. I don't know what to say to that. I don't have a good question, Naomi. You're going to have to keep going
yeah,
forward
yeah,
on
talking.
That.
I keep talking.
They came up with 5,000.
It's a yeah. They came up with 5,000. So each of our trainee organizers is asked or required to go out and recruit a bunch of volunteers, or we call them nine friends, people that they
okay,
meet.
I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Nine friends, nine volunteers. We don't, you know, the government term is volunteers. It's not our term.
How
most people here, you know, they don't necessarily want to think of themselves as volunteers. They're,
right,
they're local
gotcha.
Activists.
Okay,
they're
gotcha.
People who want to do stuff in their community.
And in our terms, in some cases, those would be local community
leaders exactly.
or they'd be yeah. activists or even members of
yeah,
organizations.
Exactly.
So that's more how yeah. we would understand
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Certainly leaders.
I don't want to take you off this because it's fascinating, but when you're talking about certification, for years
yeah.
there was a half-serious half not serious
yeah.
argument among
yeah.
U.S. organizers because you had all these sort of faux community organizer programs. Well, we ought to have a way to certify,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
there's always been pushback. We still need people to, you know, come out
yeah.
of the grassroots
yeah.
and be organizers.
Yeah.
But you also have every, you know,
John,
Willie, and Sam sometimes mm-hmm. claiming we're community organizers, and here you have a certification system, so I don't know if that means they can organize, but at least they've been through some training, it sounds like.
It is controversial. We have debated it long and hard. You know, that of course there are still people that feel it somehow goes against the whole notion of, you know, what organizing is about, that you would even begin to have some kind of qualification. It's not perfect, and of course...
Well, I didn't mean to step in a mess here, but...
No.
It's an important issue. Yeah.
Because, of course, in this country, we have another kind of profession, the community development workers
okay.
movement. So community development workers have similar roots. They work, they're people who go and work in communities. Many, many years ago, they would have done door knocking. They would probably have done some kind of listening one-to-one. But over the years, they've become people who mostly worked for local councils, in local government, working on agendas. So, you know, they might
well,
be a community
that's not totally different than the U.S.
yeah.
in the history of model cities and the OEO programs in the 60s. What really got traction was not the sort of VISTAs and others, the Volunteers in Service to America
yeah.
that were organizing. What got traction were they were called the CDCs,
yeah,
Community
exactly.
Development Corporations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
many of them started pounding the table and with signs
mm-hmm.
in front of buildings. And Well, many of the Leinster organizations, the Woodlawn organization, Build, a number of others, became CDCs, running grocery centers or a credit union.
And,
you know, that's certainly when I was starting Acorn, I'd hear from trust or foundations about, well, why don't you stop, you know, doing all this with membership and just develop
a
CDC, you know?
Yeah.
And I could, you know, swallow my own bullet first, but, you know.
Yeah,
but,
in a sense, that is an important issue. In a sense, our members are more like CDCs in that sense. They're more like service organizations, but many of them...
The members of locality.
Yeah,
right.
Many of them would have community development workers. But there's been a sense over the years that community development workers have just become co-opted. They've become an arm of government.
Definitely the case in the U.S.
Government agendas. And so, you know, it's been really important with this program to kind of draw a line and say, this
set up an alternative.
This is how we're different.
Right.
And then once you do that, well, how do we, you know, how do we make it prove that it's as good as? Well, we have to have some kind of quality mark. We have to have some kind of accreditation. Plus, you know, people do come to the grassroots from this program. We're really, really proud of the way that we've recruited, you know, people. Yeah, we have graduates, we do, but we also have people who, you know, had their last formal education at the age of, you know, 16, 18, people who've
Absolutely.
Come through prison, people who've come, you know, at recovery. So, and we're, you know, we're really, really proud of that. And the fact that people come through the program and they do come out with a qualification, you know, probably for some of them the first, you know, in their lives.
Well, we're actually at something that y'all call an action camp. and so there were over 400 people here at different times this last couple of days. And it has been, for the main part, a very diverse crew. So that's reflective of what the recruiting job has been. Back to the cohort. So 35 in a cohort.
Yeah.
I keep hearing people say, oh, they were cohort number two or 13 or whatever. So where are you in this whole process of developing
training
organizers? Because I also hear something next March or so is the last.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the last cohort or the end of the training. You'll have to explain it here. We're with Naomi Diamond, who's the co-manager of a fascinating program, sometimes controversial, as she was saying. Sometimes we wish it were more controversial, as I was saying. Yeah. But you know, in Wage World, that's the way we discuss things. And Naomi's been telling us how the community organizing program, not locality, has been directing. And she's the co-manager of this program, how it all works. So, where are we in the whole continuum of trying to get the 500 or trying to get the 5,000?
Yeah. So we launched the program in 2011. Our first cohort started in September 2011. So we're now in, July 2014. So
almost
nearly three years.
So. Yeah, okay.
And our 14th cohort will start in 2 weeks' time. And they will be the final cohort of the program.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So by that time, we will have had over 500 starting the program. Of course, not everybody completes the year. So
not all organizers, you know.
It's not right for everybody.
Not for everybody.
Exactly.
No, believe me, I've got every kind of saying
on
this.
Yeah, so you know. So
yeah,
we certainly, you know, we have a kind of a dropout rate. But we will have started over 500. The 14th cohort is the final cohort of the program. We are looking to build the future of the movement. One of the outcomes, if you like, for the program that government wanted, but I mean, God, we would have wanted to do this too, is to build a future and an organization that can take forward the everything, you know, from the program, from the network of organizers that have been trained and their volunteers and the wider communities that have been involved.
Well, and that's a perfect question for us to discuss now. So what is the future? So this last group gets hired, starts here in early July and comes rolling through March. You still have some people in, I think they call it progression years, which is the second or so year for some people.
Yeah.
So what is, I've heard this thing, COCO. What is that?
So COCO is the organization that has been set up to carry the program, the learning through to the future. It's a solidarity network for organizers. So all of our organizers, we have to backtrack a little bit.
Sure, please, please.
So when we started the program, what we had was the funding for 1 year of training. That's it. After that, they were on their own. We said, and we always intended that we would do whatever we could during the training year to help them move into jobs as organizers, but there was nothing guaranteed. We also, when we recruited hosts, we one of the things we asked them was, how will you help to, you know, build the future of the organising in your area? We went back to government. Jess Steele, who ran the programme for the first two and a half years, went back to government and said, it's all very well, but you're putting all of this investment into training, and then what? You know, people in this climate, when funding is so tough, you know, and it, yes, there's a model where you go back into your community and you ask them to sustain you, but that takes more than a year to build that kind of membership and that kind of support. So we made the pitch to government and said, give us some more money to help us move organisers into employment. And they did.
You're on a roll, aren't you, here? We'll have to get you all doing stuff everywhere to see if we can get more of this. Go ahead.
Case that we made was, we understand you don't think that organisers should be funded by government, and actually we don't either. We think that organisers should be, you know, funded by locally in their communities.
Sure.
But so give us the money to kind of pump prime that.
So that's where the matching thing came, I'm guessing.
It's a 50% grant, yeah. Right. So we can provide a 50% grant to an organiser who can match it, basically. So some of them move into employment. Some of them move into self-employment. Some of them kind of set up new companies, little cooperatives of organisers.
Now, do the host end up hiring a lot of them? That's what I was guessing would be the majority.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No. They often want to, and they, you know, they try to get the funding. They don't always succeed.
That's interesting. Even the hosts sometimes have trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, current climate, it's just very difficult funding climate.
Wage world, I've many times told people, you know, the best tools these days are a ski mask and a gun. Sometimes, if you're trying to raise money, I know that's probably not the British way.
I'm not going to respond to that.
They understand what I'm saying in the U.S. It's an exaggeration, but it is very difficult to raise money. Private, public, rich, poor, whatever.
It's tough. It is tough. About 50%, of our trainees have moved into a second year.
I'm amazed it's that high.
Yeah, we're proud of that.
Half of that, frankly.
Yeah. No, okay. We're proud of that. 50, sometimes 60%. They get this grant, this progression grant. So when they progress into a second year, a little bit of that progression grant goes to the legacy body, which is called COCO, it's Community Organisers Limited. It goes to COCO as a membership, kind of a founding membership fee. So COCO currently has a membership of about 100 to 150
of the organizers.
So those that come through, finish their training, and move
sort of like
into
your alumni association,
exactly,
if you will. Okay.
Exactly. And they have now elected their first board of directors. So they now have a majority on the board of COCO. So they're now really beginning to run COCO, to plan for the future.
And it seems like we probably could have talked for hours about this complicated program. And it may seem we have talked hours with Naomi
Diamond
here.
We haven't even talked about what the organizers do.
Well, we haven't, and we'll have to, you know, address that some other time. But so quickly, what's the hope for COCO now? So will it try to get funded itself? It sounds like it won't be able to go back to the government.
The hope for COCO is to continue to be the solidarity body, the professional development body for those organisers, but also to raise money to continue training organisers in the future, because there are just hundreds of communities in the UK that need an organiser.
Absolutely. And how could people find out more about locality, this program? Mm-hmm. I bet we've piqued some interest out there.
Yeah, because I hope so.
There's actually discussion, and I was mentioning there's a professor from the University of Connecticut who's written widely about community organizing, and Bob Fisher, who has talked to me about his interest in whether or not you can successfully have a government-funded program that seeds community organizing. It's not easy. You've been frank and forthright about it, but you all have made some progress. You've got a lot of stories to tell, and case studies, I know, are available on your website. How can people read some of that? I've gone through it myself.
Sure. So, yeah, we have some lots and lots of stories of what the organizers are doing back in their communities. The website is www.cocollaborative.org.uk, so that's C-O collaborative.org.uk. If you
and can they find it on the locality site as well?
Yeah, you can also, if you go to our website, www.locality.org.uk, and look for community organizers, you can find it that
Certainly
way.
Certainly that's how I found yeah. it, but I may not be the most sophisticated internet person here, the co-collaborator. But www.locality.org/UK, I think it is.
Dot
or is
UK.
It dot,
dot
UK?
UK. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Naomi Diamond here, who's a co-manager of an interesting program. It's made some waves happen in Britain, and a lot of people around the world are looking at, is there a relationship between government, community organizing, change? They're writing an important chapter in this. Thank you for being with me. This has been Wade's World. We'll be back next Friday, 9 to 9:30. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. Thank you, Naomi.
Thanks, Wade. Thanks to you all.